Hi again, this is Tal Dushyesh, relationship mentor, dating coach, speaker, and the author of the book, The 12 Keys to Finding Love in Less Than 300 Dates. In this podcast, I want to talk to you about my second key to finding love, and it's dating yourself and falling in love with yourself. So I have a pen and a paper, and I suggest you take one, a pen and a paper, or your notebook, or the book, if you want to complete the tasks on the book. Get yourself a glass of wine or a nice cup of tea and light a candle. Sit in a relaxed place, or even if you're driving, listen to me. That's great. Come back later for the assignments. So let's talk about falling in love with yourself and dating yourself. So, you know, when my ex-boyfriend, the one whom I thought was the love of my life, and I were separated, I left our apartment. And when I looked back to see if I forgot anything, I realized that more than 80% of the stuff were still there. They were neither mine nor ours, but his stuff. Only his objects, his drums, his picture, his art, his furniture. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but all I knew back then, that it was really painful. Very, very painful. Now, I know that I didn't bring myself fully to the relationship. I couldn't say to him, or to say with my actions, or even to actually say it loud with myself, that I am here and I'm here to stay. It was all about him. I was so focused on his needs and what he wanted and how we both can be great together, that I totally forgot myself. Now, he didn't make me do that, right? He didn't want me to be secluded or not having friends, but what he really wanted was me to be partner with him, and I didn't understand that. So knowing self, knowing yourself and loving yourself, and especially enjoying the company of yourself, is extremely important when coming to relationships and before, when you're preparing to become a partner in a relationship. You are the only one who spends time with you. When you are alone and you are in a relationship, it is all about you. This is how it was and always would be, and until the day you die. Yes, guys, until the day we die. So many people that I talk to or coach or consult to find themselves in a position where they are confused between being alone and being lonely. And there's a huge difference between the two. Being alone is learning to enjoy yourself, learning to enjoy your hobbies, learning to enjoy the time with yourself, the essence, the true essence of yourself. While being lonely is not. It's about not being able to do all these things. You can be in a relationship, and I met some couples who are living together for several years, some of them for many years, that are together, but they feel very lonely. They feel that each side, you know, drifted apart, and they're not in the same place. And this is very sad. And when you find yourself, and when you are connected to your essence and to your inner self, you can never be lonely. You can be alone, you can be in a relationship, but you also have, you always have the ability to have this full cup that can nurture this third entity, which is called the relationship. And yes, I'm going to talk to you in my future podcasts. Relationship is an entity. It's something that resides beyond you and your partner. It's like a third thing that you want to keep nurture and nourish. And the longer that you do it and the better you do it, the better it gets. So, I wanted to ask, how many times did it happen that you forgot yourself in a relationship? And I want you to reflect on how many times did it happen that you expected the other side to know what's on your mind and to know your needs and wants? And also, I wanted to ask, how many times do you feel that your partner is pulling away after a month or after 3 months? Right when you feel that the connection is actually getting better and you are actually getting closer, but all of a sudden your partner is pulling away and he or she, they're not, you know, communicating with you and don't seek being with you at the same, you know, your company. They don't want to be with you. So Did you ever meet this? Because I met it all along my relationships. And one of the things that was truly important about it was that, like Madonna said, and I think I mentioned it in my previous podcast, that until I learned to love myself, I was never ever loving anybody else. So what's the best way to overcome those obstacles? So one, you can write it down if you want, or you can go back to the recording and reflect on it, or just listen, whatever, you know, is good for you. So the first thing is to take the time for yourself. Keep yourself focused on yourself. And yeah, that's right. In this age, it's not about neglecting our needs and wants in a relationship like our parents' relationship. It's about being present, fully present, and bring our whole presence to the relationship. So, for example, if my parents, both of them, neglected their needs and wants and their creative sides and their dreams and their aspirations and put them aside for the sake of raising kids and being a family and staying together, well, it doesn't work like this anymore. And you can see it in the percentage of people getting divorced and the second marriage falling apart again. So it's about this age and this era is about bringing yourself fully to the relationship, loving yourself, nurturing yourself, and bringing your thoughts, your needs, your wants, your goals, your dreams, and make them mutual. Some of them mutual and some of them still individual. The second thing is to find and engage with your own hobbies and activities that do good to you. So what is good? What thing, you know, are good to me? Is it yoga? Is it painting? Is it singing in choir? Is it making friends? And I have to say one more thing that it's really important, especially about women. Studies find that women need tribes. Women need a tribe. Yes, you heard me right. And the more a woman is connected to a network of friends and she has lots of other women in her environment, the healthier she is mentally and physically. So if you want to live longer and if you want to have better life, then you better find out how you can become a part of a group of friends. It is essential to our mental health and to our physical health. The third thing is to communicate your needs and your wants. So do you know what you want? How do you want it? We will practice all this in our future podcasts about how can we communicate our message? What is the best timing to say what we really want? How can we articulate our needs and wants without ourselves finding ourselves in a position that we're imposing the thing on the other side or trying to blame the other side for not reading our mind or just making them closer to us while we are talking and not getting them apart from us and make the communication effective and positive as possible. And we will definitely take a podcast or two in the future to talk about that. The fourth thing is to understand that other side has the right to have their own needs and wants and dreams, and that it is okay that they say no to your request. Okay? It doesn't mean that they don't love you. It doesn't mean necessarily that they do not respect you, but it does mean that in a healthy dialogue, when you love yourself and you can accept the fact that the other side doesn't have to actually see eye to eye with you, doesn't actually have to agree with you on anything. The number five is love yourself and be your best friend, and we can definitely have some exercises in this podcast on how to do that. So how do you fall in love with yourself and become your best friend? And the sixth one is to focus on your strength. You know, when I was a child, and when I went to acting school and when I went to do my MA and even my BD in education and my MA in sociology, so all the time we were looking for fields to improve ourselves and to improve ourselves. And we focused on not on our strength, on our weaknesses, because we said, like, this is what we're supposed to do. But now the whole approach is different. We are focusing on our strength because it brings more results. And since we are a very accomplishment-driven society, we want to see results, right? So why don't we have ourselves and prepare ourselves and nurture ourselves to focus on the strength instead of our weaknesses. And that brings me to point number 7, which is acknowledge your accomplishment. So we live in a culture that sends us mixed messages regarding who we are and who we are supposed to be. When I started recording, I really struggled. I had a very hard time to say out loud my credentials and why. I was thinking myself as bragging, but it's not about bragging or being humble. It's about being connected to yourself and say out loud, acknowledge who you are and what you have accomplished. And this is only the way to be connected to yourself, to know who you are. And number 8, have a life that is separated from your partner and of you. And if you don't have a partner yet, then find a way to fall in love with yourself. So what does that mean? Again, when you are in a relationship, so find yourself a way to focus on your strength and your hobbies and on your things that you love to do. Because after a month or two in a relationship, when, you know, it's not just about sex and the communication starts to evolve and the relationship is starting to become more serious, mostly guys, but it can happen also to women, but mostly guys have this tendency of, you know, taking a step back or two steps back and become a little bit apart, drifted apart from the relationship. And many women ask me why. Well, I'm not going to go into all this explanations about the sociology of the thing, but what I can tell you is when you have a moment, when you feel that you're alone in a relationship or maybe a little bit lonely, this is a calling for you not to start pursuing after the relationship and to be like and to nudge the relationship. On the contrary, this is a sign for you to go back to your inner self and practice your things, whether it's to meditate, to light a candle, to go read a chapter in your book, to go pour yourself a glass of wine, to go out with your girlfriend. Whatever you need to do in order to bring back the power, the essence back to you, and then you'll see that the other side in no time comes back to you. It's like magic. It's like, you know, when I'm talking on the phone, all of a sudden my kids want to talk to me. Like for the whole evening they were doing their things, but the moment I got a phone call from a friend, they just right at this moment they want a treat or something to drink or something to eat or help in their homework. At the very same moment. So it works in this way. So the moment you pull back your energy from the relationship and focus it back to yourself, then this magic happens. So how do we do that? That's a great question. And we are going to practice several exercises. So as I said before, bring your notebook and your pen and take a deep breath. Let's get started. I hope you're ready because here we go. What I want you to do in this exercise is to write 10 good things about yourself. Yep, you heard me right. I want you to write down 10 good things about yourself. And after you wrote this, I want you to write down your top 10 values. Your top 10 values. What are the values that are important for you in a relationship? What are the values that are important to you as a human being and in any circumstance that you would not give up on them? So write the top 10 values. And now I want you to start having a daily treat. Yes? What does it mean, a daily treat? I want you every day until you hear my next podcast, and if you do it on the same day, then too bad, you're going to do it anyway, right? So at least for a week, what I want you to do is to treat yourself nicely. It doesn't have to be something that costs a lot of money. It doesn't have to be something very extravagant, even though it can be. But I'm talking about pouring yourself a glass of wine or lighting the scented candle that you really love or getting yourself a basket of strawberries or a bunch of flour, something that you really like, or call somebody that you love and tell them that you love them, something that nurtures yourself and makes you feel good about yourself. And another thing I would like you to do in the next 30 days, I want you to choose one thing and do it differently. What do I mean? Choose one thing and do it differently. Well, I'll explain the logic and the rationale after it, but first I want you to all get what I mean. So, for example, if you're going to a walk in the park in a different path every day, then tomorrow you'll choose a different path. If you're used to going to a restaurant and ordering the same dish, then I want you to order a different kind of dish or just go to another restaurant. Or if you're used to having friends over or meeting with a certain group of people, I want you to get to know somebody else. And why is that? That's a good question. Well, our brain is wired in a certain way, and the more we practice our habits, the more the highways and in the roads in our brain are wired. So if you want to start doing things differently, and if you want to be able to accept yourself, to love ourselves, and to open our minds to different kinds of relationships that might be potential to us, we also need to rewire ourselves. And one way of doing it is actually practicing it by doing different things every day, small different things that will rewire our brain. So I really, really want to hear your comments on this podcast, and I really want to hear what you think about it and how was it helpful in your own life. And I'm going to meet you for the third podcast. We're going to talk about the world of reflections in the third podcast, and it's going to be a blast. So thank you very much for being with me, and have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with yourself.